Moving on to another political issue is the international protection of asylum seekers. And following on from the removal of tents along Mann Street last week, a number of people arriving into the country looking for asylum have set up tents instead along the Grand Canal in Dublin. Claire, can you set the scene for us? What has been happening? What are conditions like there? The Taoiseach Simon Harris was out today talking about this issue. What did he have to say about it?
Yeah, so he basically outlined that he wants to see a multi-agency response to this, and I kind of alluded to the fact that he didn't really believe that there has been a whole of government approach to this, even though that has been touted for the last year or so. He doesn't want to see a national kind of pass the parcel attitude to now what's happening on Grand Canal, where there's about 80 tents now set up with international protection applicants. So there was that operation last Wednesday we saw, where there was about 285 asylum seekers moved from Mount Street going to Cruxlane and also to City West as well. But that hasn't prevented more asylum seekers also requiring protection and accommodation as well. Ultimately, I think there needs to be a look at the long term initiatives here. And that was pointed out by Ivana Bacik as well today, kind of highlighting the fact that there are areas across the city that could be used. She pointed to Bagot Street Hospital. She also pointed to, I believe, some barracks just across the city that could be used for emergency accommodation to house the 80 that are there. And she also pointed to the fact that there have been a number of reports handed to government carried out by Catherine Day and Lorcan Sir over the last number of years that have pointed to the need for reception centres. Those reports are a few years old now at this stage. So, there needs to be action taken on these as soon as possible.
Donnacha O'Leary, on that point around action, alternatives, what does Sinn Féin believe is out there as ready-made alternatives to tents along Grand Canal tonight?
Well, the first thing I'd say is, nobody wants to see scenes like this. It's not in anybody's interest. It's certainly not in the interest of those who are in those tents. And it's not in the interest of the local community either. So, in a country as wealthy as Ireland, that should not be the situation. What we need to do is find, people are not going to choose, in my opinion, to stay in situations like that if accommodation is provided for them. Now, as has been alluded to by Claire, the government talked about building publicly funded on public land accommodation for international protection applicants quite some time ago. And I think spent too long persevering with a strategy of trying to beg, steal or borrow accommodation rented from the private sector. I think that strategy, if it ever was sustainable, has completely run its course now. And I think it needs to lean very much into using public land to provide accommodation. I don't think it's beyond our capacity to find the accommodation that's necessary. I would agree to an extent that other government department and agencies probably can do a little bit more to identify this. But look, I don't think the key issue here is necessarily interdepartmental, arrangements. I think the fundamental issue is the strategy, and the strategy of trying to rely on the private sector and, all the difficulties that did create in local communities, I think is now exhausted, and I think they need to depart from
that. And so would Sinn Féin, to your point there, if some of those options are exhausted, do you believe there are some of those vacant buildings that Claire talked about just now, that they could be procured? Is that what Sinn Féin would do as a ready-made but urgent solution to this crisis?
Yes, absolutely. I think there are very likely many public buildings and public sites where accommodation can be provided. Now, in the immediate, seek to address this, that, isn't necessarily going to be perfect in every respect, but accommodation, a roof over people's heads, is the priority, because we don't want to see these scenes repeated or continue.
Sean Canny, some people have called this a public health emergency. Would you agree? Do you believe alternative options are available to the government that need to be triggered?
Yeah, and I think that at the moment, I spoke about this in the Dáil the week before last about what was happening in Upper Mount Street. And basically, we talk about the people in the tents who are human beings, and they're left like that. And then you think about the residents who are living in their homes, who are trapped in their homes, who cannot get dustbins in, who cannot get into their car parking spaces, who have bought their properties, who have mortgages. And that is not right either. They're effectively being imprisoned in their own homes and what to see going on out in the streets. So we have created a huge mess, and we have not actually recognised this. And we have talked about all the things that we can do and we're going to do. But the problem is, to get anything done in this country, the process is way too long. We need to have some form of emergency planning. But the emergency planning should, in my mind, should also extend to our own housing for our own people as well, because we have a problem with planning in trying to get projects built and affordability of them. So all of that is all tied up in accommodation. And I think
to the 1,700 asylum seekers in need of accommodation, what specific to them do you think can be done, given that, as Claire said, 80 tents, but likely to grow day by day this week?
Yes. And what I would say is that there probably are public buildings that are empty. There probably are private buildings that are empty in different places. But there's no point in just saying, oh, we'll put people in here or there, and then the next week, you don't know where you're going to get them. There's no long-term, 12-month strategy at the moment. And you have to look at health, education. You have to look at all the other facets of living here. And I think that it is probably something that the Taoiseach should be chairing a task force, an emergency task force, to deal with this straight away.
Malcolm Byrne of Fianna Fáil, what of that, an emergency task force? Is there enough urgency here from your own minister, Dara O'Brien, on this?
Well, I think housing is, the number one priority for government. It's why Fianna Fáil went into government. To come to Sean's point, I agree with him around on the planning and development side. Decisions take far too long. That's why there's a 700-page planning and development bill currently before the Oireachtas, and it's critical that we enact that as soon as possible.
It doesn't help the folks sleeping out in 80 tents tonight along Grand Canal.
But it's about, part of the problem around when we do look for planning around anything in this country. And indeed, I know it's a slightly separate issue, but you would have seen Francis Rouen of the National Competitiveness Council speaking about this issue at the weekend about how critical it is. And it does feed into our planning, whether it is for
But when the Taoiseach talks today about the right for people to, quote, safely sleep, safely live, safely access sanitation facilities, what's the plan? Like, when you listen to Claire Donica talk about available vacant buildings, like, is there a wish list being drawn up now that can accommodate these?
So there are, and it's my view that there are certain government agencies and others who, haven't stepped up to the plate. I raised a commencement debate in the Shannons recently around the Health Service Executive. There are over 180 buildings that were identified as either derelict or unused that are owned by the HSE. The most prominent one that's probably known and most people in Dublin will talk about is Bagot Street Hospital. But I have in Camolan in Wexford, near where I live, we've a health centre that was closed down by the HSE 10 years ago, a fine building. 2 years ago, it was being talked about to house those fleeing the war in Ukraine, and nothing was done about it. So certainly in the case of...
But 180 buildings.
Yeah,
the government surely not mandate? Oh,
I can tell you, I know that the frustration is shared by Minister Stephen Donnelly in terms of dealing with the HSE and HSE estates. Appreciate, and the argument the HSE will say, well, look, not all of these are suitable, but even if a fraction of them are suitable and you can adapt some of those buildings. Nobody wants,
But what's the plan? Okay, frustration, fine, 180, maybe not all of them available. But surely there can be a short list that can be dealt with on an urgent basis.
So we do need to look about how we can provide accommodation for those who are seeking protection. We do need to look at addressing the bigger housing issues. So all of these challenges are being addressed. So the long-term plan is, and this is probably to Donica's point about relying on the private sector to move away from that we will be into a position whereby there are in the long term 14,000 state-owned beds. Again, we're going to have to go through, all of the planning process around that. But I think we do need to be able to move those who are currently in totally unsuitable conditions to conditions where they're safe, where they have access to toilet and cleaning facilities, which they certainly don't have at present. I think we've also got to remember, and I think Donegh's very first point is critical to remember all this. These aren't just statistics we're talking about. They're human beings. Those who are seeking asylum here, they deserve to have their cases heard more quickly, which is another issue we can talk about. In some cases, they're economic migrants, and we do need to address that challenge as well. But we do still, every single one of those people are human beings.
Donegh O'Leary, right, to just hone in on that number, 181 HSE owned or managed properties in the state that are maybe vacant or underutilised. What do you think of government's position as outlined by Malcolm there and mandating HSE to release some of these on an urgent basis?
Yeah, like, I mean, look, whether it's the HSE or any of the other state agencies, like, I mean, if they have buildings that are suitable for use for this purpose and some that won't be suitable and so on, then they should be cooperating with the department in terms of providing accommodation. Like, I mean, this is about shelter over people's heads. I would return maybe to Sean's point as well, though. Like, I mean, we are talking, and rightly, about a type of emergency response. One of the frustrations I think that people have is, and I would be critical of the response to this, is in terms of whether there was an emergency type response to the housing crisis when that first emerged. In my view, there was not. And I think that, you know, that is one of the frustrations that people have, that people raise with us. And I think that, you know, you saw at the start of this government debates of whether there was a housing crisis or not. And you know, I don't believe that the seriousness that was required at that stage was followed through upon. Now, in terms of emergency accommodation, I think it's important. Like, we do need a bit of clarity from government. They're talking about buildings that, you know, to rent them. Again, you know, in terms of individual dwellings, like, I mean, you know, if they're, you know, in certain circumstances, if they're derelict and so on, perhaps there might be some role for that. But, like, I mean, I think what would not be ideal is if you saw this issue kind of seep into the private rental sector, which is already an overheated market. The two streams in terms of emergency accommodation and in terms of the general housing market should be separate streams. We need to provide quality emergency accommodation for people who require it, but it should be a separate stream. And I don't think we should be causing any more problems for the private rented sector.
Sean Canny, that idea though of underutilised derelict buildings, is that something you're seeing constantly in Galway East and constituents pointing out to you that there are options?
Well, I think that no matter what constituency you're in, you will find buildings but that could be used. The problem we have here is that we have a process for delivering anything which is way, way too slow. And even if you get a planning permission, you have a procurement process. And if you take that hospital you're talking about in Bagot Street, the first thing you have to go in there is do an inspection to see is it fit. There's fire regulations to be dealt with. There is procurement to be dealt with. And every step of the way, you'll have to get approval from DEEPER to actually carry on with it. So what I'm saying is, where you have an emergency situation, you should actually be devolving all that responsibility to an agency like the Office of Public Works or some other agency to deliver, and not to be reporting in every time they make a step and have to wait maybe 3 or 4 months for an approval. And that is what I talk about in emergency, is to get, you can get accommodation ready, but people have to get the paperwork to stand back and let people at it, if you understand what I'm saying. And I do also believe that with housing in general, we have got to do the same thing. It is an emergency, and it's an emergency now, not just for social housing. It's also an emergency for young people who cannot buy a house at an affordable price. And if you take Galway East, Galway County Council cannot deliver affordable housing in Tuam or Ballinasloe, Tuam is the largest county town, and Ballinasloe, because they cannot actually get it to an affordable price with the subvention that's coming in from government. And what I'm saying is that we've got to take this and say, right, this is all an emergency, accommodation is an emergency, and we've got to strip back some of the layers of bureaucracy that are there, not just one or two. If you take a local authority, if they're delivering a social housing scheme, they may have to go through maybe 7 or 8 gateway of approvals with departments. Why not devolve them the project and let them get on with it?
Malcolm Byrne of Fianna Fáil, to bring you back in. Let's say some of these 181 HSE owned managed properties were made available. in all likelihood, you might see them protest, given what we've seen sometimes in the past. We've talked a lot in studios like this about the need for better communication, quote unquote. Like, have you started to see anything in local communities where maybe the communication piece has been gotten right? Like, what are the 2-3 best practices, if some of these derelict buildings are to be released, that need to happen to bring local communities on side?
Well, there are many communities right around the country where those who've come here, either seeking international protection or those who've been fleeing the war in Ukraine, where people have been welcomed, where those international protection applicants and Ukrainians have got involved in the local community. Many Ukrainians are working. I certainly know of plenty of Tidy Towns groups and other groups where those who've come here want to contribute to the communities, which in many cases are providing them with refuge. Because, you know, while we do need to have a proper evidence-based debate around immigration and numbers and everything else, we have to remember what a lot of these people are fleeing from. And when you were talking about somebody who is seeking asylum or somebody who's fleeing the war in Ukraine, the conditions that they fled, it's not that they want to leave their homeland. And I think that you know, Irish people are very generous. They're very understanding of those difficulties and want to be supportive. The concerns arise, and this is something where, you know, we've raised it from a tourism perspective within communities where you may take the only hotel that's available to that community out of circulation. The knock-on impact that has on downstream tourism, but also even for the local community, places to meet where people will go, you know, after, be it first Holy Communions or weddings or funerals or things like that. So where we can use, you know, unused buildings at present, that makes a lot more sense than depriving a community of particular facilities. There is also the need, because one of the concerns is also around the provision of services within communities. And where it has worked is where government has stepped in and said, OK, we know that there are a number of new people coming into this area. We are going to provide the additional services so it won't have any impact on schools or on health services and so on in the area. And there are plenty of communities where that has worked. And it also means facing down, you know, that small fringe far right element who, frankly, no matter how good the provision of services are within the community, their entire agenda is one that's driven of hate, and nothing will be acceptable.
Donegal Lear of Sinn Féin, do you think there is an inevitability with any of these derelict sites being opened up that there will just be protests? How much of it is communication failings? How much of it would you say, well, it's people's right to protest? How much of it is sometimes based on misinformation, disinformation?
I think all those things can be a factor. I'd say, just in relation to Malcolm's point, he's right in terms of what should happen. It's not my experience, and maybe there are examples, but it's not my experience that the services have always followed. I think in many, many instances, an awful lot of the concerns that communities have in terms of GPs in particular in rural communities, that there, you know, there hasn't been any direct intervention from the HSE, or whether there's issues with school places and so on, that there hasn't been any direct intervention. So it's not my experience, generally speaking, that the government has responded to communities' concerns by providing additional resources. I think, look, there are people out there who will seek to provoke trouble no matter what. But, you know, how representative is that of what is going on in different communities? I mean, that's hard to say. I don't think that the particular communities where there's protests are necessarily any different to communities right up and down the country. You know, while there might be people in there creating conflict, there are also local people who are concerned for a variety of reasons. And the communication has not always been good. Like, I mean, in terms of Newtown Mount Kennedy, I made the point previously, I spoke to our TD, John Brady, like, TDs, local TDs, public representatives were being told that there was no decision arrived at in relation to that site and it was being considered and whatever while the diggers were on site. Okay, like, that is no good for trust with the local community nor with public representatives either. And there are other examples of similar things like that. Now, that doesn't justify anything in terms of, you know, if there was things set on fire or Gardaí attacked or anything like that. That doesn't justify anything. But it certainly doesn't help the situation where communities feel taken for granted. And I think that has happened far too often. And as I say, you know, too often the resources that are needed hasn't gone in there. I think there is a will in a lot of communities, but, like, you know, I think communities deserve a bit of respect too in terms of how this is approached.
Okay, we'll be back after the break to talk about supports for small businesses and the latest with Israel and Gaza. Back after these.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.